Hey, it's Carson and Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast for Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. We had a big mixed lounge with George Ezra inside the presidential suite at the Boston Harbor Hotel. We'll get into that in just a minute. But first, we're going to start with Kennedy's car accident. If you were stuck in traffic in the tunnel, it was because of her. Well, not because of her. It was the big bus that ran into her. Which tunnel were you in?
I think the Callahan Tunnel.
So going back home to Eastie?
Yeah. It's like the part where you go underneath where all those hotels are, and then it splits, and one just goes to Government Center, and one goes to the airport. So I had gotten in that line, and everyone was at a dead stop. And so I was stopped, and man, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw this big truck coming. Not truck, but like a... I don't want to say what kind of truck it was, but they carry people from like a small bus.
Yeah.
And I just could see that he wasn't going to stop, and I knew that he wasn't going to stop. And so I just kind of grabbed onto my steering wheel and just kind of waited. And it was a loud crash, and it really rang my bell. And
did your airbags deploy or anything like that?
They did not.
Okay.
Because it was from behind, I think. You know,
no, they'll still deploy.
Yeah. So, especially your car. You
thankfully,
have like new technology.
Thankfully, no, they did not.
Yeah.
So I just kind of sat there for a moment. I was a bit stunned, and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, of course, everybody's honking and screaming and, why are you in my way? And the crash was hard. And then about a minute after that, someone else crashed into him.
Oh, they hit the
which
bus?
Just goes to show you how little people are paying attention when they're driving.
It's insane.
And
So did you feel the shocks of that too? Were you still in your car?
I honestly don't even remember.
Oh wow.
And so I kind of got out of the car, and at that time my foot was bleeding. I cut it on the bottom of something.
Were you wearing shoes?
I was wearing sandals.
Huh. Was there a cut there already?
I had a little cut that there was there already, so I don't know if
might
I
have hit the pedal,
but the bottom of my foot too. So I looked down because my foot felt sticky, and my shoe was filled with blood. So I just take off my shoe and let it hang out the door because I don't know what. So then, you know, they're like,
just let it hang out the door in the Callahan.
It was dripping blood, don't have anything in my car to clean it.
Not to laugh, but this is just that's
besides
bonkers.
Which, I thought it might get me some sympathy.
That's actually a good idea.
So I really, to be honest, I just didn't know what to do. I was really dazed, and I didn't know if I was supposed to call the police or my insurance company. And then I remembered I'd switched insurance companies, and I don't have like the app anymore. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm going to get dropped by this insurance company. I'm not going to have insurance anymore. And then
for those that don't know the story, Kennedy has a long history with insurance and driving schools, had to go to driving school, almost lost her license. Her insurance company dropped her. You had to pick up a different company.
Yeah, I'm paying a bajillion dollars for insurance right now. And like, that was going through my head. The fact that I was holding up traffic was giving me total angina. And like then, so the guy comes up to me who's driving the car, and he goes, I need your license and registration. I said, no, you don't. I need yours. You're the one who hit me.
Bam!
Oh, you got a little feisty with
him? I got really kind of mad. Something I just didn't need. This day had been this day, and I didn't need any more cherries on Sundays of anything.
Did the cops show up?
Thankfully, the state trooper had been in an accident about 30 minutes prior, and he was like, this happens all the time. Don't you worry. And he was like, I need your registration and your driver's license.
Right.
And I was like, I couldn't find my registration because it had expired, and I had done it online, and I tried to give him my phone, and he goes, give me the old one there. Because, you know,
type in the number.
So literally, I pull everything out of my glove box. He goes, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. I bet you it's in there. And that's where it was.
Yeah.
And he couldn't have been nicer.
He's like, you got to pay this bill.
they filled out some paperwork that then I'm supposed to take online and fill it out and get my insurance company and all that, which I did not do yesterday because I slept the majority of the day.
Sure.
Back.
Yeah.
And this morning when I was driving in, as soon as I got in the car, I started crying.
Freaked out?
I think I just realized what had happened.
Yeah.
And what could have happened?
No, especially driving those tunnels at
that
time.
That I didn't hit the person in front of me.
Yeah, no.
That it could have been really bad. So much worse.
And all the stress of your insurance and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then just as I'm driving in this morning, minding my own business on Storo, and then this,
bleeping.
I would swear there.
GD?
Huge garbage truck. Goes from across the third lane, across all traffic to get off on the exit.
I hate people like that.
I mean, people
like that. Just go to the next exit.
It was literally this close to my car, and I was like, really? And so then I'm shaking, and then I'm like, I don't want to drive. I'm in my car saying this. I don't want to drive anymore. I don't want to drive anymore. I don't want
how
to drive
much,
anymore.
How much damage was done to your vehicle?
Not too much. It hit the bumper, so it seemed to take the brunt of it, which is remarkable considering my history with these things, and I usually have to fix every quarter panel. So,
we're glad you're okay. We were talking to you yesterday when all of this was unfolding. I talked to you right after the accident. I could tell you were a little bit out of it, but we're glad you're safe. Please go to the hospital today. I think you should
I'm
going
to go see if I have a
just
concussion.
Just to make sure. You might have a mild concussion listening to the symptoms.
Yeah, I just like the lights. Earlier we were like, what are the symptoms? And I was like, no, the bright lights aren't bothering me. Right. But I realized I'd been in the dark all day yesterday and these lights are no fun. And wearing headphones, I'm sure, is super smart.
Okay, well, we're glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Because now we can have a laugh about it.
You got a letter from the state, so don't be late.
Was that accident your fault?
Yeah.
Did you pull out in front of that other car?
Yeah.
Are you just a crappy driver?
Yeah.
Then come on down to Kennedy's Driving School. We teach you how to drive while intoxicated, texting and driving, eating and driving, and we show you how to do it without wearing a seatbelt and with one eye closed. Do yourself a favor and don't open the mail. Go to
Kennedy's Driving School.
She's got the Hollywood hookup 24/7. It's the Dirty on the 30 with Kennedy.
So I've heard a lot of both sides saying that last night's Emmy Award was either good or left a lot to be desired. Colin Jost and Michael Che were funny-ish, I guess is what I heard.
Ish.
Diversity was the theme of much of the evening.
Yeah.
Which
the
was
Me Too
good
movement as well.
But they were saying it just was too much, in other words. However, I would say the biggest moment of the night came when Glenn Weiss, who won a directing Emmy for his work on the Oscars, proposed to his girlfriend Jan.
Jan, you are the sunshine in my life. You wonder why I don't like to call you my girlfriend? Because I want to call you my wife.
Oh,
it rhymes.
I want to put this ring that my mom wore on your finger in front of all these people and in front of my mom and your parents watching.
That didn't rhyme. That didn't rhyme.
Will you marry me?
Oh, that's adorable.
And his mother had just passed, so that ring was pretty important.
Oh, wow. Leslie Jones, she was there, and they got a picture of her like when it was happening, and she was in this like beautiful, shiny suit, and she's like, oh my God, it was amazing.
So Julie Chen made her position in regards to her husband and former CBS head honcho Les Moonves clear when she signed off Big Brother last week as Julie Chen Moonves. But we were all wondering what of the talk, as she hasn't been there. Well, it seems that it is being confirmed she is resigning from her co-host role on the show. It's unclear whether her decision to step down. She reportedly shed more light on the situation in a videotaped message that will air on today's episode. Her priority is to clear her husband's name following the sexual assault allegations against him. She will, however, continue her role as the host of Big Brother on CBS, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I guess on that show, nobody can really talk to her. It's just her and a camera and a bunch of people that don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
You don't have to face scrutiny as much, I think.
You can't sit there with that panel of women, you know, and not have a conversation about it and not have it get heated. And you know, people look at you and say, what are you doing?
I was surprised at how hard they went on about it that first day without her being there. I felt that was a little unfair. She was kind of shrapnel in all of this.
Yeah, and I disagree. They never mentioned her name. They were talking about the investigation being transparent. That's where their words were, but in any event. Real quick, like, from my friend Megan, who writes for People Magazine, Ed Sheeran was at the Boston Children's Hospital yesterday.
Nice.
Was he
getting a checkup?
It was quite a Memorial Day for the memorable day for the kids. he was there, you know, jeans, t-shirt, his little glasses. He sat down with the kids to answer some questions they had. They asked about his songwriting, what's on his current playlist, and about his favorite movies. They are Cool Runnings, The Lion King, and Finding Nemo.
Of course they are.
What?
He's a 7-year-old boy is what he is.
My God.
I think we could all have those on our list.
My Son Parrot, those are his three favorite movies right now.
Same.
How does he not have Shawshank in there?
So we did a George Ezra Mix Lounge yesterday, and it was at the Boston Harbor Hotel, which is already a fabulous hotel.
Yeah.
It is very swank.
Turns out that the general manager of the hotel is my next door neighbor, and she used to live right across the street from her old house in Charlestown. So we get to go in there, and they have the Mix Lounge set up in the presidential suite of the Boston Harbor Hotel, which I find out later costs you about $17,000 a night with taxes.
That seems like overkill for you guys. to be there.
Hey, we're worth it.
No, no, George Ezra's worth it. I'm saying the two of you.
That's pocket change for me. I don't know what you're talking about.
So we go in, and there's this huge living room. It overlooks the Boston Harbor. The chandelier wouldn't fit inside of the studio that is hanging in there. There is a chandelier in the bathroom that is big. That is as big as this.
It's important to have good lighting.
It is. There's a theater room that is soundproof for the kids in case they want to sit over there. You get 24-hour butler service, 24-hour chef. So,
see, this is my dream in life. Yeah. I've always wanted to live in a hotel. Maybe that's the room for me.
I think so.
You might be able to afford the closet on that room.
The closet was bigger than my entire house, so it's fine.
We didn't even, you know how you guys stole the robes when we were at that?
No, we were given the robes, but go on.
Okay, yeah. We didn't even want to go in the closet that housed the robes because it looks so bougie.
I would have just wanted to feel them.
Yeah, I think the closet was 671 square feet.
Carson, that's so mean.
I'm trying to think what else they had in there that stood out to me. What was four bedrooms?
I saw Carolyn, our promotions director, in a bathtub.
Yeah. Yes.
And that looked lovely.
That is in the master suite. Annie got into that bathtub as well.
I did, and it looks out onto the harbor, and you just see the planes taking off. And I was like, oh, how the other half lives.
Did you put water in it?
I wonder what the rich people are doing today. No, they only bathe in champagne or Evian in that suite.
I think it's Fiji these days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched, we put up a short Instagram live video. If you go to the Mix Instagram, you can see a little bit of it. But the funny part is I had to walk away for a minute, and Annie is then hosting it. And she's like, Mom, I made it.
It's the little thing.
You should have brought Lori.
But that's what's so cool with these things. Sometimes you get to do stuff you never in a million years would be able to do.
Exactly.
And I think that's so cool the way that our team is able to make those things happen for us, you know?
Yeah, I asked all the winners that were there for the Mix Lounge. I was like, has anybody ever been in a presidential suite? Two people out of the 50 or 60 that were in the room actually had.
What?
Yeah, one of them got an upgrade in New York. The other one got an upgrade at Disney World to the presidential suite.
Whoa.
One of the first things he told us, Kennedy, just a real short clip here. He took a duck boat tour for the first time.
Oh, fun.
What the tour guide drilled home the most was how many times the Americans beat the British in wars.
So that
by the end, I was just completely aware of that.
So
we're first
in your face.
We were first before first was a thing.
And Annie, you were there. His voice.
Oh, he is an angel. Like everything about him, his look, his voice, just. Oh my God, I was in love with him.
So I wanted to talk to him about his voice. And it, you know, at that age, like when did you realize, when did somebody come to you as a teenager and say you had this incredible instrument?
At what point in your life, maybe how old were you, did somebody say to you, like, you have a gift? I mean, his voice is just, it's incredible. It's special to listen to you perform. Did somebody like say, hey, like you may not realize it, but this instrument that you have is pretty special.
No, thank you. But it was the complete opposite. So me and my two siblings were all, once a week used to go to this kind of drama club. And I was known, and I was, the child that could not sing a note in tune. And I remember I used to have to stay behind after rehearsals to have these bloody lessons with this dude. and I kind of was... Yeah, rubbish, awful. There's like videos of me in what with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I was Mr. Beaver, and I didn't hit one of the notes that I was supposed to hit. And then what happened when I was about 13, 14, I just fell in love with music and singer-songwriters, and I kind of wasn't aware that I was bad, so I just did it every hour of the day. I was at home singing. And I was kind of like deliberately trying to imitate the people that I looked up to. And I think just before long, you just start to iron out the creases, you know? So it was kind of, like an accident or just persistence, maybe.
Practice.
Yeah,
practice.
But it really was that. And I'm not like over-exaggerating. I couldn't sing.
Isn't that an awesome story?
That's crazy. You would think he came out of the womb ready to sing.
With that voice, right?
Or be the guy saying, in a world.
He's about to perform his song Budapest, and he tells this story. It's an incredible story, and it involves buying alcohol from a stranger on the street.
So on the first album, I did a similar thing. So on the second, I went to Barcelona. On the first album, I bought a train ticket, and it's a train ticket that allows you to travel around Europe for a month. And you can stop off. You could just jump off the train in the first town you get to and be like, this is cool, I'm staying here for the month. Or what I did was kind of every 2 days I would move on to the next town. and I would jump off the train and go and find a hostel and hope that they had a room. But there was one stop where a friend of mine, he put me in touch with these three Swedish girls that said I could stay with them. And so I decided, I like sat down and thought about it. I was like, okay, I'll give the hostels a miss this time. And I headed round, and these three girls were very excited when I arrived. And I soon found out it had nothing to do with me arriving whatsoever. It was because it was the Eurovision Song Contest final in their hometown. Now, for those of you that don't know what that is, essentially every European country puts forward a singer, and they compete against each other. And I had managed to go my whole life not watching the Eurovision Song Contest, but they were very keen that we go and watch it. Now, at this point, this is when they told me that you can't buy alcohol after a certain time. And for those of you that have seen clips of Eurovision, you'll know that I wasn't going to watch it sober. And don't judge me for this, but I ended up buying a bottle of rum off a man in a park. And I drank the rum. I didn't feel great the next day. And I decided to miss out the next town that I'd planned to visit. And you can do that with the ticket. You're not, you know, signed up for any particular route. And as a result, I never made it to Budapest. And I didn't care. I'd never been there. You know, I didn't know what I was missing out on. And then I got back and I started to write a love song of sorts, and I figured that in a lot of songs they'll list everything they have and say they'll give it up for somebody, and I just thought it would be funnier if I listed things that I didn't have, and hence I started with a house in Budapest, and trying to explain to the press in Hungary that the song Budapest has nothing to do with Budapest. Yeah. There's harder jobs, but it's not easy.
So this is George Ezra, this is his song Shotgun, this is a new song. He was in town yesterday for a mixed lounge. It was at the Boston Harbor Hotel. We were in the presidential suite.
I saw pictures. It looked so glamorous.
Four bedrooms, that's all. 24-hour chef, 24-hour butler.
Did you get to ask the butler for things?
Yeah. Oh, they had charcuterie.
Oh, my gosh. I drank some.
You had salty meat?
Yes.
And cheeses.
In the Pellegrino waters, the little mini ones. I was sip, thank you.
There was a chandelier in the living room that
was
the size of...
You're going to be bougie before you know it. Yep.
I don't think so. I think they Lysol'd me every time I took a step.
The chandelier in the living room was the size of your car, Kennedy. So Annie shows up, and I notice Annie is wearing a different outfit than what she wore to work yesterday.
Well, sometimes you like to look nice for a mixed lounge.
You had a Patriots shirt on. And
she was wearing
like workout
yoga leggings,
yoga pants,
workout clothes, and sneakers.
And some
I was
fake
like,
Yeezys.
Oh, so you brought a change of clothes?
No, I ran down to the Marshalls.
She
picked up a nice dress.
I do that all the time.
That's
all
funny.
The time.
I just don't like looking like a scrub at
like
those
you forget because
you know?
We get up so early, you forget what you're doing that day, and you're like, oh crap, I don't have time to go home. Okay. The TJ Maxx or the Marshalls are always there for
so
us.
So we learn, you know, Annie's 23 years old. She's never done any online dating, like the dating apps or whatever. So I decided at this mixed lounge with George Ezra to get some dating tips from some of our winners.
Thank you. Okay, so Courtney, you see Annie over there in the yellow dress?
Yes.
She has just joined some online dating apps for the first time. She's 23 years old. She's never done it before. Have you done this before?
Yes, I have.
Do you have any tips for her?
Keep it real. Let them know in the profile or your description kind of what you're looking for. And just kind of be real. Don't be like, oh, I might be looking for this. If you want a real relationship or if you just want to hook up, just let them know.
Okay, and what about like that first comment? She's worried about that first comment being so important. And she's been telling a lot of dad jokes. Does that work?
That could work. Also, just maybe just mention something that you like about them, about their picture. I have commented on people's dogs or their hairstyle. Like, I love people who snowboard, so I say, like, oh, do you want to go snowboarding sometime? Like, trying to kind of find something in the picture.
And what's the one thing that she should look out for? Like, stay the hell away, be aware, don't go near that.
Depends what you're looking for, but if it's just a picture of their body and not their face, kind of stay away from that.
Thank you, Courtney.
Yep, thank you very much.
I don't think Courtney knows you well, because otherwise she wouldn't have said, don't be yourself.
Yeah. Keep it real. I always keep it real.
And I felt like that last tip could have been for Kennedy.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay, so what's your first name?
Megan. My name's Kristen.
Megan, how old are you?
I'm 25.
And Kristen?
I'm 22.
Okay, so you see Annie over there in the yellow dress?
Yes.
She just started, like, logging on to these dating apps, like Tinder and Hinged and Hatched and
Bumble.
All of these. Do you have a piece of advice?
Hatch?
Keep it casual, no expectations, and just have fun.
What about your boyfriend?
What about him?
Where did you meet him?
I met him on Bumble.
And how long have you been together now?
We've been together for 3 months, so still in the beginning stages, but it's been going pretty well.
And how did he start the conversation with you?
I had to message him first, because that's how Bumble works.
Okay.
And I think I just said hi. I didn't have a line. Usually if there's something in their bio, I'll, if it's funny or something, I'll comment on that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I wasn't...
She did, a dad joke? What do you think about, dropping a bad dad joke as your first interaction with a guy?
I think jokes are great. I have to say my best friend met her boyfriend on Tinder, and they've been together 4 years, so...
Salt met his wife, they're married now, so it can happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's the thing you should avoid on these dating apps?
Talking about your exes, for sure.
Check.
Yeah.
I think, expectations, getting really serious really quickly, that's kind of...
So I want to have three kids,
yeah,
and I want to live in Andover.
Yeah. No kids, no talk about marriage or lifetime goals. I want to be married by 24 or something,
Right.
Steer clear of those for sure.
All right. Well, thank you both. I'm going to pass that advice on to her.
Thank you.
Nice job. That is awesome.
I think there was some good advice for you there, Annie.
Yeah, and they all seem super supportive.
I like that one girl. She's like, what have you heard about my boyfriend?
Yeah, right. Well, what about him?
She did Annie match him?
She forgot. She told me the story before I started recording. She's like, oh, I met my boyfriend on Bumble. So I said, what about your boyfriend? She's like, what about him? I'm like, you told me a story.
I thought that was a perfect answer.
Yeah.
Because you really weren't specific.
So then I went to get my picture with George Ezra, and I decided to ask him.
What do you have for somebody, say they're dating for the first time online, if they're doing the dating apps, the Bumble, the Tinder, any of that stuff? Have you ever messed with that stuff before?
I've not messed with the stuff. I just say
it's not drugs.
You've got to be in it to win it. Don't be fussy.
What about if they drop a really bad dad joke first time they talk to you?
That's a massive positive.
Awesome.
And he's got a shot with George Ezra.
Everyone loved your dad jokes. So clearly stick with that.
Your dad jokes are awesome.
She's got the Hollywood hookup 24/7. It's the Dirty on the 30 with Kennedy.
Okay, so I have a couple things revolving around Roseanne Barr. It is being said, it is claimed by Roseanne Barr. She told the YouTube show Walk Away that ABC is going to kill off her character on The Conners. And here's what she said about that.
By the way, congratulations to Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah. Or not.
Is that not it?
No,
that's
sorry.
What I have.
I can tell you what she said.
What number is it?
I'm looking.
Character death. I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Thank you.
So now we know that the show is coming back without you. What's going to happen to Roseanne Conner?
Oh, they killed her. They had her die of an opioid overdose. So it wasn't enough to just do what they did to me. They had to so cruelly insult the people who love that family and that show. So there's nothing I can do about it. It's done.
I don't know that that's actually true. I haven't read anything else anywhere else that says this.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little weird to me.
The whole thing is icky. I'm going to go back to saying this show shouldn't be happening. Just end it, because right now she's still in the conversation and everything that. It doesn't need to be there.
I think I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Variety magazine claims Tom Arnold and television producer Mark Burnett got into a fight at Emmy parties on Sunday night. We were sort of talking about this off the air yesterday. Annie and Salt were reading text messages that had gone back and forth.
Because it was 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, which is, of course, we're just starting the show at that
time. So what happened was both men were walking into a fundraiser, and then they began shoving each other. Arnold claims Burnett tried to choke him. Security broke up the brawl. Arnold had bashed Burnett in recent months for refusing to release outtakes from The Apprentice, which he says show Donald Trump using inappropriate language.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold, of course, was a contestant on the show. Burnett's wife, Roma Downey, allegedly suffered a bruised hand, and she tweeted, "Got this bruise tonight when Tom Arnold decided to ambush my husband, Mark, and me at a charity event. Is your TV show worth it, Tom?" Tom got caught up with, I think this might be TMZ. Here's what he said.
So this Mark Burnett has said on tape, Donald Trump is the worst human being I've ever met in my life. He knew that. He's known that this whole time. And so he knows that. That's why he lost his mind there and tried to, well, he could have killed him. This is a guy that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, Mark Burnett, who just tried to murder me at a party.
He is being said that Arnold filed a police report late yesterday. His new show, The Hunt for Trump, premieres on Viceland today. So there's that.
Some were talking about like it might be a hoax, it might be a publicity stunt, yeah. But now
for
it seems
show.
Like yeah, but now it's that. Well, actually, and they said that Mark might be in on it too, but that's it's a weird situation.
Really,
too, yeah.
Mm.
I went down the rabbit hole.
You went down the rabbit hole yesterday.
Yeah,
and real quick, like a lot of times we pronounce celebrity names and we're pronouncing them wrong, and it's just sort of been going on long enough that nobody seems to say anything. Like Rihanna is really Rihanna.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's Niall Horan.
Okay, stop. And Chrissy Teigen just blew everybody's mind yesterday by saying we've been pronouncing her name wrong all along.
I'm tired of living this lie. It's Teigen. Isn't it, Mom?
Yep. Yep.
I told you, it's Teigen.
It's Teigen.
Chrissy Teigen.
I can't.
Teigen.
She's the kind of person that should have, like, you would think she would have came out right away because, like, she doesn't care what people think of her. You think that she would have been like, it's Teigen. I don't know what you guys are talking
about.
And
what were they saying about Ariana Grande? How's her?
Grande.
She's Grandy.
Grandy.
Remember, Bill Belichick did this to us, too. Was it last year?
My dad's name was Stephen Nicholas Belichick.
Belichick.
Don't do this to me.
He changed it so we New Englanders could figure it out, I suppose. I don't know.
You can't beat Kennedy.
Don't even try. World's smallest violin.
She hit front row seat.
You can't beat Kennedy. You can try, but man, you can't beat her. You ain't gonna win, man, you're going down. You think you can, but you can't. Oh no, oh no. Stop, game time.
Emmy is from Wakefield.
Good morning.
Good morning, Emmy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm freaking out.
Don't freak out.
Okay.
Why? Hold on. First, let me tell you, Campy Kennedy brought to you by our good friends at Cumberland Farms. So you just moved here from Indiana 3 weeks ago?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
Why are you freaking out then?
Because it's weird
I'm
here
really
compared
to
Indiana.
Be honest.
Okay. I didn't know people liked us that quickly.
She doesn't know yet.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
She's got to wear him down.
She doesn't know any better.
Go in their car and take away all the other preset buttons.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go ahead and apologize because we're like a fungus. You can't get rid of us.
Give us 3 more weeks.
Yeah, 10 years from now, you're going to be like, I'm still listening to them? What is wrong with me?
Garbage.
It's like scabies.
You guys have been on my radio since I got here.
Oh, well, thank you, Emmy, so much. Will you kick Kennedy out of the studio, please?
Yes. Kennedy, can you please leave the studio?
Sure thing. Good luck.
I love Middle America.
I know. 5 pop culture trivia questions. You get more right than Kennedy, Emmy, you're going to win yourself $100, okay?
Okay.
Kennedy has left the studio. She can't hear anything that is about to happen. She has 2,318 wins, 205 losses. So I know you're new to the show, new to the area. You understand how the game works and you're set to go?
Yes.
Question number one. Reese Witherspoon was on Jimmy Fallon when she said she and her husband are big fans of the cable show Fixer Upper. Which channel does Fixer Upper air on?
Ooh.
I know.
maybe like
question number 2.
I don't watch TV.
Okay, that's all right.
You want to do phone a new friend? Go ahead, ask Salt. Bring. Hey Salt, what network does it air on?
HGTV.
The dad channel.
So Emmy, which channel does it air on?
HGTV.
Question number 2. Julie Chen is allegedly leaving The Talk because her husband Les Moonves was ousted as CBS CEO due to sexual misconduct allegations. Which of these is not a co-host on The Talk? Sharon Osbourne, Cheryl Underwood, or Joy Behar?
Ooh, I know Cheryl Osbourne's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sharon Osbourne is not Cheryl.
Hmm. Love that, Cheryl.
He said...
Joy Behar, Sharon Osbourne, or Cheryl Underwood. Which one is not a co-host on The Talk?
Underwood.
Question number 3. Game of Thrones once again won the Emmy for Best Drama Series, and Peter Dinklage won Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. Which character does Peter Dinklage play?
Oh, is it... I don't remember what his name is. It's not... No.
3 TV questions for a girl who doesn't watch TV.
I know, right? What are you going to do?
I literally never watch TV.
Oh, good. So this is going to be another good question for you.
Oh, boy.
Rumors are that KFC has a new colonel. They are using a talking plastic bear to promote their hot new fried chicken dishes on their TV commercials. Which Seinfeld actor is the current colonel? I'm so glad I gave you the first answer.
Oh, what's his name? He was in... Shallow House. I used to watch that.
Yeah. Head and tail.
Okay, question number five. Coldplay's Chris Martin covered Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On during Leonardo DiCaprio's benefit show in Sonoma, California on Saturday. Which movie soundtrack is that song a part of?
Titanic.
Damn it. Almost had a subject. Get Kennedy back in the studio. Now I'm mad at myself for giving her the first
I know. Song. I was like, ah, oh, that's...
I should take it away.
You did it too early.
I can't.
Don't do that to her.
You showed your hands.
I did. I did.
You all played yourself, to quote Annie.
Congratulations.
Kennedy, Emmy got 2 out of 5.
All righty.
These are super, super hard.
Okay.
Question number one. Reese Witherspoon was on Jimmy Fallon when she said she and her husband are big fans of the cable show Fixer Upper. Which channel does Fixer Upper air on?
HGTV.
Tied at one. Question number two. Julie Chen is allegedly leaving the talk because her husband, Les Moonves, was ousted as CBS's CEO due to sexual misconduct allegations. Who is not a co-host of the talk? Sharon Osbourne, Cheryl Underwood, Joy Behar.
Joy Behar.
She is on The View.
Joy.
2-1. Question number three. Game of Thrones once again won the Emmy for Best Drama Series, and Peter Dinklage won Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. Which character does Peter Dinklage play?
Tyrion.
Do I need a last name?
I'd accept that.
Okay. Tyrion Lannister is correct, Kennedy. 3-1. Question number four. Rumors are that KFC has a new colonel. Which Seinfeld actor is the current colonel?
Jason Alexander?
That is correct.
Julia.
4-1. Question number five. Coldplay's Chris Martin covered Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On during Leonardo DiCaprio's benefit show in California on Saturday. Uh-huh. Which movie soundtrack is My Heart Will Go On a part of?
Titanic.
Yes, that is correct.
Woo! That is a sweep today, people. Concussed or not, she has got it.
You deserve it.
She's talking about herself in the third person.
She needed to today.
Emmy, I'm sorry you don't get the cash, you don't get the win, but I do have a pair of concert tickets. You are going to see Leon Bridges at Aganis Arena on October 4th. We will even get you directions because you may not know where that is yet.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Emmy, we're so glad you moved to Boston and decided to check out our show.
Thank you so much
for that.
Thank you.
All right, what do you want to say?
You'll get a welcome bag in the mail soon.
That is not true. What do you want to say to Kennedy before you go?
My name's Emmy. I'm from Wakefield, and I can't beat Kennedy.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.